We're all in for a good time today. He keeps expanding the message even while I've been here. And I wasn't really planning on doing this. I try and come over prepared. I have enough to keep you here for days. But I also try and monitor the absorption level. And when we peek out, I try and end right there. So, what he said to me, when I was just since I got here this morning, he said, show them the bar. And when he says that to me, I know what that means. Now we're going to, how many know Jesus is the bar? He set the bar for us. Now, before I even do this, open up to what he said in John 14. See, we leave out, not we always, but commonly we tend to leave out part of this verse. And we normally say the works that he did we'll do also, and greater than these we'll do because he's gone to be with the Father. That's in the verse, but it's not the whole verse. And the whole verse reads like this. It's John 14. Did I tell you where to go? Oh, well, that would help, wouldn't it? John 14, and of course, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. See, this is the part we leave out. He that believeth on me. See, and ever since that day he walked through the wall, to me, just as clear as one of you, he just walked through the wall between those two speakers and walked right over here, put his finger right on my Bible, and said, I want to be believed. Now, we are believing on him. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe on him. We all are believing where we're believing. We're walking where we're walking, okay? But we got to be careful, because not only the world, but the church at large will really lower the bar. See, now what he says here is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Well, I'm not saying we're not believing on him. Again, you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe on him to some degree. We're all believing. But what he's saying, when our believing rises to the level of the bar, the works that I do, shall he do also? And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So when he said to me this morning, show him the bar, let's first talk about the revival bar. This is the vision of the prayer center. This is your vision also if you're connected with us around the world. If I like to say it this way, you know, good fishermen use good bait. See, Pastor Dave, at some point, those wonderful, wonderful teachings, the hook went out there and you got snagged, you know. He caught you with truth, didn't he? Caught you with truth. You go, that's truth. I know that's truth. I got to have more. And he's reeled us all in here, see. And now, his goal, thank God, he's so rare, he never wanted to become our teacher. Although he's one of the ones the Lord has used. But his goal was to turn us over to the teacher. You'll see, and that'll be even more clear in a minute. So when he says, show you the bar, let's look at the revival bar. Let's see right exactly, because he says the works that he did, we're going to do also. Isn't that what he said? Let's look at that bar. So I'm going to just show you five. I could show you many more. I'm just going to show five places, an example of the bar. I'm just going to do just in Matthew. And that way you know I'm not giving you duplicates. Because Mark writes about them. John writes about them. Luke writes about them. We're just going to look at just five. And I could do more. But just five in just the book of Matthew. So go to Matthew 4. I don't have these already prepared, so I got to go with you because I didn't know we were going to do it. And we're going to start in verse 23. Let's look at revival the way Jesus, where he set the bar for revival. Okay? Where he set the bar for the works. So Matthew 4, looking at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, there's a lot of that going on in the modern church. There's teaching and preaching. Oh, when you find the word and, doesn't that mean they're not through yet? See, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing a few sick folks. Oh, and healing all manner of sickness. Well, some things are just too hard. What? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him, is it in your Bible? All sick people. They'll be doing it here too. They'll be doing it wherever you are. They're wherever you are. I don't care where you are. New Zealand, Australia. When our believing rises to the bar, they will come to him wherever you are, because it's him in you. Okay. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, modern language, crazy. My prayer right now is send all the crazy ones to Bronk and Jim. You can't be afraid of crazy. Say it with me. God heals crazy. Doesn't he? Amen. Our friend Red has a song, Leave Crazy Alone. God won't leave that. That's a different kind of crazy. That's crazy for Jesus. And that's okay to be that way. Anyway. I'm going to read the whole verse 24. It's just too good. It feeds me. Does it feed you? And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. Four of my favorite words. And he healed them. Them who? He healed them all. Whoever they brought, there was nothing too hard. There was nothing too difficult. It didn't matter. Didn't matter if they were at death's door. And he healed them. That's the bar. That's the bar. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. You know, you read articles all the time about how the churches in America, maybe worldwide, but the churches at large in America, many people are leaving. We get this working. They'll be flocking in. You'll be begging for more space to where to put all the people. The reason they're leaving is it's not the real gospel being demonstrated. They'll come to Jesus like they always did. If we can raise the bar back where he put it. Okay? That's just one. Here's another witness. Go to Matthew 8:16. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So here's another event. This is not the same event. That's why I got all of these out of Matthew, so you know they're different events. Matthew 8:16 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many. Say many. Not eight. The reason I say eight, in the Old Testament it says a few were saved in Noah's time. There were eight. So I know eight represents a few. This doesn't say a few, does it? See, if we got eight healed in most services today, that would be we had done a hit revival. Now, we're talking probably hundreds, maybe thousands. When real revival breaks out, TV will not be your problem. You'll be begging for a little cot over in the corner. Can I just catch a 20-minute nap? And then we'll get up and open some more blind eyes, you know. See? This vision has got me hooked. It hooked me many years ago. I'm hooked today. It's what spins my prop and heats my chili, gets me up in the morning and makes me so young and good looking. I literally feel younger than I did 10 years ago. I may not look it, but I feel it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. Look at these words. And healed all. that were sick. This is the bar he left us. This is what he set. And he plainly said, those that believe on me, you're going to do those same works and even more. And we can't let religion, we can't let life, we can't let experience allow us to ever lower the bar. We have no right to. We have no right to lower it. The Lord established it. And I just read the next verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He already did it. By his stripes, we were healed. Now let's look at the third one. Go to Matthew 12. Look at verse 15. And actually we'll start in 14. The reason I want to start in 14. See, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Remember I told you yesterday? You better hug that verse that says, when you're persecuted for his name's sake, happy are you? That if they came after him, they're coming after you. Right in the middle of the miracles and the glory and the healings, they'll be calling you everything but a good person. They'll be out to destroy you like they destroyed him. One of the things you'll find as you go through the First John, one of the things that hit me like a ton of bricks. He's talking about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of the life. These things are not even of the Father. Then right after that, right in the same breath, he talks about Cain killing Abel. And it dawned on me what he's saying. The world hates you like Cain hated Abel. And the world will kill you if they can. They want to scrub you off the face of the earth. So verse 14 again, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him, and so that caused him to leave the ministry and hide away. Oh, but when Jesus knew it, here's how you respond to that. When he knew what they were doing, he did withdraw himself from there. But great multitudes followed him, but he didn't dare heal one of them. See, he even told Paul at times, you know, leave this city, go to another city. You've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? But you don't ever hide the ministry. You don't bow and fear and quit doing what God called you to do. But I love those words. And he healed them all. Did you notice where it says great multitudes? When you find that phrase, great multitudes, another place you'll find it is when he fed how many? The 5,000. That was just the men. In this one healing right here, when it says great multitudes, there may have been 5,000 to 10,000 healings just there. Not a few. Like I said, we get 8 healed in one service today, we got a landslide. Well, you have 5,000. All right, let's go to Matthew 14, 14. Again, I got to do this again. See, this is right after John the Baptist was beheaded. John was Jesus's, in the natural, was his cousin. Isn't that right? On the natural side. John was a prophet. And Jesus said, "Of born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." And yet they killed his cousin. They killed John. Now see, the natural man would go, "They killed my cousin? Maybe I better back off a little bit here. You know, if they could kill John, they're coming after me." See, you got to lose all that. Because when he found out, so let's back up just a little bit, verse 10, and it's talking about the beheading of John the Baptist. Verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger. Boy, don't you know the devil was proud. And given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. And notice, and went and told Jesus. So he gets the news. Let's find his response. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Now here's his response. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. Here we go again. How many? Is it eight people? Is it a few? He saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. How many of them you reckon he healed? If words mean anything, he healed their sick. He healed them all. That's the bar. We don't have permission to lower it. We have no right to lower it. He said it. Our job is to press toward it. And believing has everything to do with it. It's for those that believe on me. Got one more for you on this path. Go to John 15, Matthew 15. We're staying in Matthew. I've been preaching on 1 John so much, John just comes out of my mouth now. We'll start really in verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down. And here we go again. And great multitudes came unto him. No, I really love this one. I love them all. But having with them those that were lame. Homer, are you listening, my friend? The blind. The dumb, that means they couldn't speak. Now, particularly notice here, the maimed. I've looked that up. It's literally the same word where Jesus talked about cutting off your hand. You know, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. These are people that are missing limbs. They're missing an arm, a leg, a toe, an ear. They're missing something. And in the service, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. Now notice again, and he healed them. Insomuch, now this is why I know it's during the service, not after they went home. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw. Now that means they saw it during the service. When they saw the dumb to speak. Now notice this one, particularly notice, there's a reason. The maimed to be whole. And they saw it. They stood there and watched, or sat there and watched, while that missing limb grew out. That's the bar. That's what you've joined up with. That's what hooked you and drew you. That's where we're pressing, and we're not going to stop until we get there. Because he said we could get there. If he didn't say it, I would have no right. But he not only thinks we can get there, he expects us to get there. I got to read verse 31 again. It makes me want to cry. This is what he died for. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw. I'll never forget the day that jumped out at me. They saw it. It means it happened while they watched. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, Homer, and the blind to see. Buddy, your day's coming. Homer is Bronx associate that we love more than life. What a testimony Homer's going to have. Because he is going to see. Now see, when that kind of thing is going on, notice what happens. And they glorified the God of Israel. And they still will today. They still will today. Now see, that is the bar. Jesus said, those that believe on me, they are the ones. So it connects up with what he told me that day when he walked through the wall, walked right over here and says, I want to be believed. Now, I'm going to do I'll just say it like this. Yes, sir. Maybe I'm not going to say anything. Hang on a minute. I'll find out what I'm going to say. Yes, sir. Okay. I forgot. I'm sorry. See, now that's the bar for revival. Now let's talk about the bar for your walk. 1 John has done more for me regarding my feet being on the solid rock of what he really came to do than maybe anything else in my life so far. And when he opened up that book, which it's been there the whole time, I've read it literally, I'm not exaggerating, I know I have assimilated 1 John, but somewhere between 50 and 100 times. I quit recording them at 50, so I don't know how many since then. And I never saw it, I never saw it, I never saw it. And in verse 3 is the key to unlocking the book. Because he plainly tells you in verse 3 why he wrote the book. He said, the things that I saw. Now you've got to remember, 1 John, the scholars differ a little bit, but it was written roughly A.D. 85, maybe 90, but somewhere in that range. Well, Jesus was raised from the dead roughly A.D. 30. So what's that, 55 years? So John is writing this book after a lifetime of serving the Lord. And he says in verse 3, John 1, verse, no, you don't need to go there today. But John 1, verse 3, he says, that life that we handled, that we touched, Jesus, that he was manifest, he was with the Father, and that life was manifested. We touched him, we spoke with him, we sat at his feet, we ministered with him. He said, the things that I have seen and heard. In other words, what I heard him teach or what I saw him do half a century ago, I am declaring that unto you now. In other words, John says, I am not preaching any different gospel than the same gospel that he taught 55, 60 years ago. Because there's only one gospel. And it is the gospel that Jesus brought to us. See? So the instruction I heard the instruction I heard was go through 1 John and find the teachings of Jesus in every passage. And as I began to do that, it opened up the whole book. I never dreamed there would be 21 lessons. Kyle, my son-in-law, sitting right over here, he got excited about the messages, and he's going, and I'm like him, I never dreamed there'd be 21. He's going, is there any way we can get this, you know, can we compact this? And see, and the thing of it is, I know now, I didn't know how many there would be. I know now, as a teacher, it could have been 42 lessons. I mean, really, there was so much more. What I gave was like bare bones. And I'm going to tell you this. 1 John is a summary. It's the most anointed book I believe I've ever read in my life. You had to be inspired by the Holy Ghost to write 1 John. And every line builds on the previous line. And if you go outside of that, you're going to get off. You've got to stay with the context of what John is saying and how, and then bring up those teachings of Jesus in their context and keep it right there. And it makes perfect sense. And it flows like a running river. It flows. It's easy, you know. So Tim keeps saying, Gary, you need to make a summary of 1 John. And I keep saying, 1 John is a summary. But this afternoon service, he gave me somewhat of a summary this morning. I wrote it this morning. You guys must be special. At least it's the best I've been able to do so far. Now, I'm going real slow on purpose. Because the other bar, see, he keeps bringing me back. That's the bar of revival. Do you see it? Nothing else is revival. Did you hear any? I heard like one weak amen. Nothing else is revival. He defined what revival is. Now, you can call whatever, you know. I thank God we get a few saved and a cold healed. Thank God. I mean, you know, I'm glad for anybody that gets saved or any blessing like that. But let's not lower the bar. Now, here's the other one. Here's the other bar. That we walk as He walked. And He's got a visual demonstration for you today that I believe is going to help. More and more, these videos are becoming more important. If you didn't watch Alan's service yesterday to see what happened when he had that giant, Joshua back there, raise your hand, Joshua. When you saw that representing the flesh, get on Joe, who's real small comparatively. He's the spirit man. And here's the giant, the flesh. See, if you don't see that, you're not going to get the full import of what's going on. Well, we're going to have a visual demonstration today. I'm going to do my best for those of you that only get to hear this by MP3 or audio. I'm going to do my best, but dear Lord, we sometimes one picture. That's why, Jesus, of course, it can be done. Jesus taught by words and gave us visuals with parables all the time. So it is possible to do it. Now, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, this is why the message that has come to maturity is so important. Because we see now what revival is, right? Let me just ask you, is there any school on planet Earth right now, any Bible school, any Christian college, any seminary that you can attend, and when you graduate from there, you will have those exact same results every time that I just read out of the book of Matthew? Well, no, there isn't any such place, is there? Is there any ministry that you know of? And I mean any ministry on planet Earth. Now, I know there are signs and wonders. A man came up to me yesterday. I don't know if you're here or not. And the Lord's using him greatly in the working of miracles. Well, I thank God for that. But that's a gift of the Spirit. And one of his questions was, well, you know, he's telling me this one got healed and that one got healed, but I prayed for that one and they died. He says, what's up with that? I said, you're in the right group, buddy. That's exactly what we're all pressing to where that stops happening. See, that's not, Jesus was not, you know, some get healed and some didn't get healed. They all get healed. So we're pressing for something higher, and it has everything to do with what we believe. So there is no place on planet. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just trying to hear and obey. Say it again. There was a place 2,000 years ago that if you got your blind child there, without a doubt, you would bring that child home seeing. He wants that again in the earth. And he wants an army of us. He doesn't want people to have to get on an airplane and fly to Jerusalem or fly to Tulsa or fly to your town. He wants an army, a Joel's army of us all doing that same work. Why? Because we all believe the way he taught us to believe. Amen. See? That's why you're here. That's why I thank God for Pastor Dave. He got it 25, 30 years ago. He said, there is nowhere you can go. There is no seminar. There is not even a minister anywhere on earth at this moment where you can go and train under, where the end result, you know, any person can bring any sickness to you at any time, and without doubt, they're going home healed. There is no place like that. So are we left hopeless? No, because he not only left us a book. Thank God he left us a teacher. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that I so admire about Dave, I so admire watching God work through him. I thank God. I've seen miracles flow through Pastor Dave, but he never tried to get us to follow him. He always get trying to turn you over to the real teacher, and that is the Holy Ghost. Thank God for praying in other tongues. Thank God for praying in other tongues. But the church, I'll just be honest. I have to be careful that Gary doesn't slip out. Oh, sorry. Well, Dave did it. I'll do it. We are so milquetoast. We can't even deal with our flesh. Yet we're wanting to bring down strongholds of evil. We ran from the bear. We ran from the lion. We think we're ready for Goliath. You can't deal with your flesh. Now, 1 John is all about that, whether you know it or not. At the end of 1 John, yes, sir. Okay, my job is to follow as he brings these things up. See, Dave, if you listen to Dave's first message on sin shall not have dominion, in that very lesson, which, by the way, if you think Nathan is tough on sin, listen to that one. Listen to your pastor. This time hear the part that you didn't hear the first time. Dave had all of this decades ago. But about halfway through that, be turning to Titus, chapter 2. About halfway through there, he mentions a guy, another preacher, didn't mention him by name, who tried to do what I did, and that's go through 1 John line by line and teach it. And Dave said, this other minister told him, he says, well, I got about halfway through 1 John, and I had to just abandon the whole project. Well, why, Pastor Dave? Why'd you have to abandon it? He said, well, I couldn't find the grace in it. I couldn't find the grace in 1 John. But see, I'd already been through 1 John when I heard this time. I knew exactly what the guy meant. What the guy meant was he couldn't find the modern definition of grace, which is just a covering for your sin, which is not the Bible definition of grace at all. God did not come by his grace to forgive your sin and leave you a sinner. God came by his grace to make you his child and free you from sin by the new nature he put in you. The reason I had you turn to Titus, this is the grace of God and nothing else is. This is the grace. It tells you real plain. And it would work better if I got into Titus. Because that was not the right verse. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. I always stop right there. How many wants any other kind? I'm only interested in the grace of God that brings salvation. Because there isn't any other kind, really. There's a lot of definitions of grace. But this is the kind that brings salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly when we get to heaven. Oh, no. In this present world? See, in John, you're going to find statements like this. As he is, so are we in this world. You're going to find statements, we should walk as he walked. Near the end of the book, you're going to find he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Not waiting on the Holy Ghost to come keep you. He put a nature in you that allows you to keep yourself. How do you do it? I like how Bronk said it recently, with the sanctified no. See, that's what denying means. Deny. Your flesh goes, hubba hubba, look at her. And you go, no. Look, chocolate cake from Sam's. No. Well, maybe one sliver. Okay, we'll give you a sliver. Okay. But to the rest of that cake, no. Drugs, alcohol. I'm not talking abuse. No. No. See, and the grace of God is what empowered you to use that sanctified no. But so many people are waiting on the Holy Ghost to come set them free from sin. The Holy Ghost, Dave, again and again, if you'll be honest, he said over and over, it's not the Holy Spirit that set you free from sin. If it was the Holy Spirit that set you free, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free. No, it's the new nature that God put in you. That's what sets you free from sin. Now, the Holy Spirit will help you. He will assist you. He will teach you. He will nurture you. But he will not say no for you. You either say no or you're going to keep sinning. Boy, people don't like that message. Tough. I could give a... Well, I do give a little rip. See that? See what I meant about Gary? See? I'm trying to keep that guy from slipping out too much. I told you, I'm not really... People call me Pastor Gary, that's okay, but I'm not one. I'm a teacher. You fall asleep in my class, you'll find out what happens. I'll wrap your knuckles. Elbow that person right there. Ready? Wake him up. Sue always cringes a little when I do that. Now, this is the bar that he raised. This is how we're really supposed to walk. I'm going to really suggest to you, recommend to you, plead with you. I would get on my knees and beg you to listen and watch all of those messages on 1 John. And if you've heard them once, do it again. And we put even the sermon notes there that, you know, just an outline of the mostly scriptures and a few comments. Follow them in your own Bible. Underline in your own Bible. Get this in you. I'm telling you, it drives, one thing it does, it drives the last nail in the lid of the coffin of radical grace. It does. It drives the nail in the lid of the coffin of universalism. Tell you right now, it does. No? There's one lesson in there. That if you listen, I'm not going to go through it today unless he tells me to, but it's called The Children of God and the Children of the Devil. I'm telling you right now, we've got a lot of people attending church. I don't mean today, but a lot of people in churches today that are still children of the devil. They're just religious children. And you're going to see part of that today if we ever get to it. This is my introduction. I haven't started yet. Oh, that was Gary again. Anyway. Now, Joe, come on up here. When you come, now I'm not going to make, Joshua, you're safe, man. I'm not going to get you on it, and you're safe. I'm not going to have, I love you. I don't care what Alan did to you, man. I love you. That mean Alan, we saw what he did to you. See here, doggone it, he's not here. I tell you what, before we start, though, get me two chairs, any two, and kind of put them here facing each other. Here, these two right here will work. Got two with no, those two will work since nobody's sitting there. And Joe has helped me with this before. The first time I did this was at the youth, well, the first time I did it here was at the youth conference. And I told you we were going to start in Genesis 1. We are. This is starting that. No, go to Genesis 1. I want to show you something. And this has everything to do with believing. See, because if we don't ever make this transition in our believing, I don't believe we're ever going to get to revival. I don't believe we'll ever do the works unless we get there. Actually, I need them right here in front. Just kind of centered up in front of the podium. Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. And that gives the cameraman time to where he can in and out to where he can get both of those and me. I thought this would work pretty good. Now, Joe is at them. See, Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, he says this at least three times in two consecutive verses. When God repeats himself three times, and really maybe four, in two consecutive verses, is this important? He's wanting us to know for sure. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And just in case you didn't get it, in the image of God created he him. And just in case you women didn't get it, male and female created he them. So his original plan, he made a man. Not just in appearance, but he made a man in his image. God is righteous. God is love. God is light. See, when it says he breathed into that baby, he made his body out of the dust of the earth, but there's that lifeless body. At one time in a vision form, just praying and minding my own business, I saw the second member of the Godhead. I saw the Christ, the Word, the pre-incarnate one. I saw him walk up, and it was him holding that lifeless body. And when he breathed, it says he breathed into him the breath of life. He wasn't breathing oxygen. I like how Dave said it. God is not dependent on his own creation. He wasn't breathing oxygen in this man. No, God took from within, and really it was the Lord, took it from within himself, and he breathed life into this man. That means this man was created in righteousness and true holiness, just like it says in Ephesians 4:20, I believe it is, righteousness. But he was created that way from the get-go. And then God, the woman was taken out of the man, so she had that same life in her, male and female. They're both in the image of God. Now see, we don't realize the depth of what happened when Adam sinned. We don't even know how long it happened. I had a Bible here a few years ago. I went to Othello, Washington. Travis is here somewhere. And I was there in that service, and I opened up my Bible. And somewhere on the plane trip, chapters 1 and 2 fell out. It wasn't there. And I opened my Bible and I said, oh my God, I got a Bible that starts with a curse. Chapter 3, oh God. Had to buy a new Bible. Anyway. That's one of my best. I love that story. Anyway. Praise God. We don't realize the depth of what happened. When Adam sinned, the Bible is real nice about it. But we know that although his outward form probably did not change, inwardly, his spirit man went from life to death. It went from something righteous to something sinful. From God's point of view, this was no longer made in his image, not in his spirit. Now, I don't know about his body. I know we know death had entered into his body, but his body was so alive it took like 900 more years to kill it. But in his spirit, he got born again in reverse. He went from life to death. One time when God was showing it to me, and again, if you pray in tongues a lot, he'll show you movies. At least he does with me. And one time I saw it like this, and it was way worse than this image that we're going to use today, because what I saw when God walked up, see, the age-old question is, couldn't God just forgive Adam? Why all of this, thousands of years, and why and Jesus on the cross, why all of that? Couldn't God just forgive him? He did. If you'll go back and read it, you'll find that God, something innocent, had to die. God made skins. He made coats, coverings for them. After the blood of something innocent, an innocent animal, a type of the lamb, had to die. And God covered Adam and Eve, it says, with those skins. A type of the blood being shed for us, isn't it? But see, here's the thing. Oh, in that vision, when I saw God cover them, they were covered but they were not changed. And they were still, what I saw was like some kind of twisted hunchback monster looking thing with four eyes and tentacles coming out of its forehead and green and gnarly. And I mean, he was showing me in the spirit, we don't realize the depth of the fall of man. It got so bad, Jesus told the Pharisees later, you're of your father, the devil. And it's not that the devil really fathered them, but they became remolded in that image. It's called the law of sin and death. And I don't have any way of depicting really how bad it was. But I want you to, I brought a little prop that'll help. He's helped me with it before. First time I ever tried to teach this, I tried to wear the mask myself. And the rest of the message was, you know, because you couldn't hear me through the mask. So, Hyundai, my Hyundai. Can you see? And God covered them. He covered them with those skins. But He forgave them. But God's looking and He's going, I forgive you. But I love you too much to just forgive you and leave you like that. Get all twisted and humpbacked and gnarly and bent over and snarl a little bit. You know, yeah, there he goes. All right. I love you too much to leave you like that. I want you back the way I originally made you. And that's what this whole gospel has been about. And 1 John is the summary of how God did all that. If you listen to those lessons, you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, have a seat right here, and I give the cameraman a time. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. Now, what you have to understand, everybody, even the saints of the Old Testament, were in this condition. Nobody is born again until after the resurrection. Am I at the right church? We don't have to lay that. You know how many places I'd have to lay a whole foundation for a year to even get to that statement? Okay? But you're taught. Amen? Moses had that nature. I'm sorry, Abraham had that nature. King David. When I really learned that, it gave me even more respect for them than I ever had before. When I read through the Hall of Faith, how by faith this guy and by faith that guy, and Noah had that sin nature, and somehow they still obeyed God. Didn't lower them in my eyes, it raised them in my eyes. Isn't that right? Got to understand this is why Jesus said, I hate to tell you this, but John the Baptist had that sin nature in him. Now you understand why Jesus said, well, born of women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. You see it in? Because they're not going to have that same nature. See, and so Jesus finally, he is born. You go through the Christmas story and the angels are telling and the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. And then finally the child is born and God, for the first time in 4,000 years, has seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D, seeded life back into the earth. Jesus is the seed. His husk was just like yours. His body came down through Adam all the way through Mary. He had a sinful, fallen body just like yours. But in that body was the seed of life. Dave eloquently taught us little babies don't come down from heaven. They're produced through the law of Genesis on earth. Don't have time to relay that foundation. But Jesus says about himself, I came down from the Father. He didn't come from Adam. The life that was in him was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So I need someone to represent Jesus. David, you've helped me before. Come do it again. Here comes Jesus, everyone. Now just have a seat right there for a moment. Now, yes, sir. Stand up. Stand behind your chair. Nigel. Come sit in the chair. I'm doing this on purpose. It's not a matter of the color. This is Jesus. You understand me? Nigel, stand up, get behind the chair. Would you come, honey? You? Yes. How many know in Christ Jesus there's neither male nor female?
Amen.
Sit in the chair. This is Jesus. We've got to get past all this color stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Thank you. You two can be seated again. But I'm just trying to. He's helped me before, so go ahead and sit down now. The point is not that he's white. The point is he's not green. Oh my God! These people that are only hearing me—they don't know what in the world I'm talking about. I'm not doing a good job of this. Oh God! I'm just going to go with the video. If I try and think of that, it's going to get me all off. All right. No, the point is, Jesus is the seed. He's wearing a body just like ours. It's sinful just like yours. It says plainly he was tempted in all points like we are, but yet without sin. Now, how could he do it? How could he live above sin? And nobody else could. I mean, the Bible is real clear. Even though a lot of people did their best to live holy, the Bible is real clear. There is none before the resurrection. There is none righteous. No, not one. To make sure we understand. Nobody. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Isn't that right? Well, we found out we had to have a Savior. Why was it our... Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. I'm having a good time. I don't know about you. This is better than yesterday, right? Yes, okay, all right. Now, just so you'll know this, David and Job both, you just don't know how qualified in ministry these two are. They share with me sometimes the lessons that they have written. I try not to steal them. What I'm saying is these guys are students of the Word, and I really appreciate them being willing to do this, okay? All right. Now, yes, sir. Did I tell you to go to John chapter 3? Okay, we're going to look at Nicodemus. We want to look at this. Jesus has been going around. He's been doing miracles. He lived without sin for all those years. Oh, I started to say, now how could he do it where nobody else could do it? You do know that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit worked miracles through those guys. Yes, sir. Nigel, I need the Holy Ghost. I need someone big, intimidating, strong, mountain mover. He's come around on this side. He is the Holy Ghost. And even in the Old Testament, he would move on these guys and they could prophesy. Shandai. They couldn't shandai. They could prophesy. Okay? And they could literally speak for God. They could make axe heads float. They raised the dead. The Red Sea opened and they went across on dry ground. Do you understand the Holy Spirit did all of that through spiritually dead men? It's a covenant it's the first covenant that God made. And Paul called it the ministration of death. It's a covenant made with dead people, spiritually dead. But still, the Holy Ghost was able to work with them. The one gift that you will not find in the Old Testament is praying in other tongues. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be. Come over here. Get on his back. No, I'm teasing. David could probably handle it, but anyhow. See, the Holy Spirit could be with them. Do you understand the Holy Spirit is in you? The Holy of Holies. What the difference? This person is, now this is Jesus, but I'm talking about you now. You've been born again. That new nature in you is the Holy of Holies. I don't care how messed up your soul is. He didn't come to live in your soul. He come to live in your spirit. And your spirit, Ephesians 4:20 will tell you, is created. I like to say from the get-go, on day one, in righteousness and true holiness. That's why the Holy Spirit can come and live in you now. Now, only in our covenant do we have the gift of tongues, where the Holy Spirit in you can make intercession for you according to the very will of God. And He does it using your lips and your authority on this earth, so the plan of God could come right through your mouth. And that plan isn't, those prayers are intended to be answered as much as any other prayer. Pardon me, I got to go pray now. I'm sorry. I done prayed myself into it. Preach myself into it. Isn't that good? All right, you can go sit for a little bit. I don't know how long. How long? Good Lord. Oh. Someone. Okay. So you got to understand, this is Nicodemus. Skin. Greenhead. I'll call him Greenhead. Not skinhead, because there's connotation. We'll call him Greenhead. Mr. Sinner Nature Greenhead. But now see, this is a religious sinner nature Greenhead. So let's give him the law. See, I want you to see the covenant. This is the ministration of death. How's God going to deal with these spiritually dead people in the Old Testament? Here's my law. Keep that. Now you're looking at the Romans 7 guy. This is the guy in Romans 7. Every person who ever heard or discovered the law of God and loved God and wanted to keep it, and they set about to keep it. And he says, with my mind, I agree. You read it. Look in there. See that? Okay. So he's read it and he agrees with it. And he says, I'm going to keep it. And that bad thing, I'm not going to do that bad stuff no more. And that good stuff, I'm going to start doing that. But after a little while, his nature takes over, because that is who he is. It's called the law of sin and death. But here we've got Nicodemus. He's a high up in the ranks. We're going to give him a prayer shawl. This will make it work, right? You know, we gave him. He's got the law. Let's say you got that memorized, like Saul of Tarsus. Alan mentioned yesterday. By the age of 12, he had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. Prayer shawl. Stand up where they can see you on the other side. Stand up. Here, hang on. Put it back on you again. There you go. Religion is not going to help you. Amen. Can you see the problem here? Religion is not. I'm telling you, our churches are full of these. They've never been born again. They've learned the lingo. Lingo? That's language and lingo together is lingo. They've learned the lingo. They know how to dress. And they've read the Bible enough. You can sit down. But religion is not going to help you. What's amazing, this discussion we have. And Nicodemus was a good one. I mean, he came over by night. And if you can get this, now we've got death in a conversation with life. And this guy thinks he's okay. Nicodemus thinks he's okay. You know, I've got the law. I've got prayer shawl. If I had all the props, he'd have a little phylactery thing hanging on his forehead here. You know, God was doing all this stuff trying to help him, you know. But all of it was the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. But let's look at the conversation. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now notice, a ruler of the Jews. I probably should have some gold change to put around his neck here, you know, and just make him look as religious as I possibly can. Robes. Come in, maybe, you know, beard, you know. Look the role, but still Greenhead. Still Mr. Sin in his nature. But he comes in. He's a ruler of the Jews. Now notice, he came by night. Tells you a little. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Now Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now get this. Here's life talking back. Life is, in his eyes, he sees what he's dealing with here. And he's looking. Nicodemus, I think, has a heart for God. He's really kind of coming, I think, going, is there any way I could do what you're doing? I mean, I saw you open blind eyes. I saw the lame to walk. I saw all of these things. No man can do it. You got to be of God. And you can tell by the way Jesus answers him that it's implied, is there any way I could do that? Is there any way I could do the works? You see how this message is tied in with the beginning? The works that I do shall you do also. But it's only us that believe on him. Now watch. So Jesus doesn't, he just goes right to it. He says, now, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says back, well, because he's a natural man, he only thinks naturally. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus, life answers back. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water. Now, what he's talking about there is the birth canal, the natural birth. Except that's all in the First John series. Just listen. Except a man be born of water and... I once quoted exactly. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Not only can you not do what I do, you're not even in the same kingdom. Can you see that? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's from that very verse is where Dave took the foundation to teach us how the spirits of humans are born. They're born through the law of Genesis at the first cell division. And I hate to tell you this, but that's why abortion is always murder. It's always murder. I don't care if they do it in the first 5 minutes after that first cell division. Now, there is forgiveness if you've had an abortion. There's forgiveness like everything. Hey, if David can be forgiven for murder, so can you. Amen? But let's stand up for truth. Abortion is murder and it's nothing else. Okay. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, Nicodemus. That which is born of the Spirit. How was this one born? The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. He is born of the Spirit. This man is born of the flesh through the law of Genesis. He's just telling him the truth. So he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Oh, and I get this. The wind blows where it listeth, where it wants to. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He's going, you don't know where I'm from. I'm born of the Spirit. My body was born in a manger, but the real me, you can't even see where I'm from. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Now, let me just tell you, so are you. In Oklahoma, we get wind. Where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, sometimes in the form of a tornado. And trust me when I say, you can sure see where the wind has been. You could see where the wind had been when Jesus went through his teachings and the people that were healed and the people that were delivered and the people that in his wake. You could sure see where the wind had been. He says, when you get born of the Spirit, everybody will be able to tell the effect of that birth. Amen. That's 1 John again. Okay. I'm doing my little promos here. By the way, I'm not making any money off of it. It's all for free. Okay? All right. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him back, are you a teacher in Israel? You're a master? And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven. Now notice this. But he that came down from heaven, now, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. There's a teaching coming on that that we can't get into today. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How many of you believed on him? we have that eternal life. That's the conclusion of John's letter. That life that we beheld, that life that I touched, that was with the Father, was manifested. And near the end of the letter, he that hath the Son hath that life. That life that we saw in him, we now have that life in us. And that's why, as he is, so are we in this world. We walk as he walked, and we use the sanctified no to deny ungodliness.
Amen.
We walk like he walked. That's how he did it. He was tempted like you are, but he said no. See, we only think of him being crucified that day on the cross. He lived crucified every day of his life. And he says, if you're not willing to take up your cross, you're not even going to follow me. Holy Spirit said to me one time, well, one of you is going to be on the cross every day. Either your spirit or your flesh. And it's your choice. Now, this is why 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't need to turn there. You know it by heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say, that's me.
That's me.
Say, Paul's talking about me.
I'm
in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
If any man be in Christ, now look up here. Look up here for just a minute. He is a new creature.
Amen.
You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You are a new creature with the life of God on the inside of you that is now empowered by grace to say no to the flesh, no to the devil, no to the world, and no to sin. This is the grace of God that brings salvation, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We live soberly, righteously, and I like the last one, godly.
Amen.
How do you mean godly? We are made in his image.
Yes.
Now this is what God planned all along, to populate the earth with sons and daughters, men and women made in his image. And we're in the first stage of that restoration right now. We have been regenerated in our spirit. John says, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. The day is going to come that you're going to get a new body, just like the one that Jesus has. And then there's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth, where there's no more blood-sucking mosquitoes in Jesus. I know there was no blood-sucking mosquitoes in the garden. I know it. But where righteousness dwells. We're only in phase one. I'm looking forward to phase two. And I'm looking forward to phase three. Okay. Yes, sir. No, stay right there for a minute. Alan kept us how long yesterday? Man, he's not here. I can't pick on him. Right. Let's do one more. Go over to Luke 18. Luke 18. Now this time, I need you to, David, I need you to stand up, please. Move out of the camera shop. Put your chair, hook it back onto that other one. And I need you, sir, to stand up for a moment. We're going to turn the chair and face the camera on this one. And the camera's God. What I mean is, in this what we're going to read here, go to Luke 18:9. We're going to look at the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now the Pharisee, he thinks he's something. But you've got to understand, the Pharisee before the cross, before the resurrection, is still Mr. Greenhead. Still got that sin nature. I don't care if he is a Pharisee. He's got a prayer shawl. He's still got the law. He got the law right here. Got it right on his heart. You see that? Good Pharisee. Probably would have some kind of gold chains. He'd probably have a phylactery on his forehead. He would have a robe with certain tassels. He'd have all of the finery. I mean, I just can't. Then he comes next to this tax collector, which was like the most despised of all the people, you know. So you know this story. But I want you to see the futility, why God says what he says here. So Luke 18, starting in verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, in plain English, if you can look at this image, here they are, sin creatures, but in their mind, I'm keeping the law. I'm some kind of hot rod here. And he says, so two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, I love this, with himself. In John, there's a thing that says we know that he hears us. Trust me, God isn't even hearing this trash. He don't know it, but he's praying all by himself. God is not even hearing this. That's self-righteous stuff. Can you see the foolishness? He's going, now, I hope everybody can see this. You've got the man with the sin nature. He's all religiously dressed up. He's got the law. He's got all the trappings. And he's like he's something. He stands there. He says, God. G-A-W-D, no doubt. God. Probably said it loud where everybody could hear him. I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this, and you can hear the revulsion in his voice, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. Now look, turn around, look this way where they can see you. Look at Mr. Sin Nature bragging on his fasting. I fast twice in the week. Turn the other way that they can see you. I give tithes of all that I possess. This guy bragging on himself. And the publican, I'll be the publican. That'll work. And the publican, standing afar off, I don't get out of camera shot too bad, standing afar off, would not even so much, but you got to understand, okay, no, you got to be the publican. Because you got to have green head on. So here's the publican over here. He's not all dressed up in the fancy robes. He's a tax collector. He probably feels like he doesn't feel good about himself. Okay? But at least, see, under that covenant, he's got the right attitude. He figured it out. I can't keep the law. No matter how hard I try, I can't. I've tried and I've tried. He's the Romans 7 guy. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I've tried and I've tried. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Beats his breast. Have mercy. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. And under that covenant, which one of them is right? This guy, the publican, is right. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And under that covenant, that's the only real thing. Thank God for the Lamb. Thank God for the Lamb. Amen. For the blood of the Lamb. But now, you can go sit down and take that off. In that same thought, Jesus, come. A new creature walks up saying, and when he prays, this is not Jesus now. This is, in fact, you got to go sit down. My sister, born again child of the living God, got righteousness at her core. Been born again. Will it do for her to stand before God and say, have mercy on me, a sinner? Would it do for Jesus? Would Jesus say anything like that? Then don't you ever say it again. Amen. You are not a sinner at your core.
Amen.
You are not. Say it with me.
I am not
a sinner.
At my core.
I'm not a greenhead. I'm not a sinner by nature. I've been born again.
That eternal life is in me.
I've been born of God. And I keep myself by the Spirit He gave me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Did you get it? Did you get it? That's who you are. And you're His hope in the earth with all of your problems and all of your faults and all of your failings. And I don't care if you kicked the cat and spoke ugly to Alan yesterday. We love our Alan. You're still His hope in the earth. God is in your corner. He is your biggest cheerleader. He's going, will you believe my word? I want to be believed. If you can ever believe what I've really done for you, we can get on the business, get back revival, and we'll get this world won. Glory to God. We've got to believe on Him. Believe what He said. I want to be believed. Glory to God. I'm getting the white hanky. I know I'm doing good now. When I get the white hanky, that's good. I mean, getting one from Bronk. Glory to God. Go to Galatians 6. This is my first closing. What does that mean? Nothing at all. I don't know why I even say it. No, I really am. I'm about finished for this morning. You can sit down. Thank you so much. Sometimes those visuals really help, don't they? Gary, where'd all those come from? Hours upon hours, decades upon decades, and meditating the word, just doing what Dave taught us. And they come, these little teaching visions and little teaching movies. But aren't they helpful? You would never in your wildest dreams think it right for Jesus to pray to the Father, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Don't you ever pray that again. Now, if you sin, this is all in 1 John 2, if you commit a sin, you don't run from God. Where do you run? You run to God. You repent. That means I'm not doing that anymore. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse, He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I always say all the time, I only know two perfect people. That's Jesus and Pastor Dave. When he's here, he always gives me the fist, you know. Right after the service, I'm going to beat you for saying that. Anyway, I love our pastor. But this only works for people who believe. He says, those that believe on me, the works that I do. Well, most of the church does not believe what we just went through there. The church I grew up in plainly said, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not going. You may have a gifts revival. Thank God for the gifts. You may have a gifts revival that way, but we're never going to have the bar level revival until we believe on Him the way that He taught us to believe. Okay? Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, and that's where we are, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. What matters? The only thing that matters is a new creature. Are you born of His Spirit, or are you not? See, in that demonstration we had Mr. Greenhead, we could dress him up, put a prayer shawl on him. We could put a phylactery on him. I hope I'm saying that roughly right. One of those prayer box things on his forehead. We could put a robe of righteousness on him with little tassels. And you could just do everything, but you cannot change his nature. Amen. See? But the gospel is, when you believed on Him, you became a new creature. Here circumcision was the big issue. Today, most of them today would be your tithe, you know. They'd go after something. Pick anything, really. But it doesn't matter if you wear a prayer shawl or not. It doesn't matter if you have a robe on or not. It doesn't matter whether you sing in the choir. All of those things are fine. What matters, are you a new creature? Do you know it? Do you know it to where you walk it? That's where He's bringing us. Not just to know it, but to walk it. And as we begin walking it, you're going to start hearing on a whole different level from the Holy Ghost. Come here. Holy Ghost is reluctant today. But see, I tarried and He came. But anyway, see, Gary slipped out again. You see that? You know, the Holy Ghost has been with Gary now since at least 1980. Ready, able, and willing to do the works. You do know it's Him that does the works, right? You know what He's been waiting on? Waiting on me. Are you ever going to believe? Are you ever going to believe? Jesus says, I want to be believed. Will you covenant with me? We will be believers. And the Holy Spirit is going to get loose to do all the time what He's been sent here to do. Hallelujah.